It's the seventh Shir Haggadah on the part of Dayenu. So one of the things, when the Ketayim we say, Ilu Kiravnu Lifnei Har Sinai V'lo Nasalanu Es HaTorah Dayenu. So everybody asks the question, that would have been enough just to bring us to Har Sinai, even didn't give us the Torah. But what's so great about standing in Har Sinai? You're not going to get the Torah. So he brings in the name of Rabbi Zev Edelman, that's all. He answers based on the Chazal, on the Pasuk Lo B'Shemayim Hi. That the Torah is Lo B'Shemayim Hi. And Chazal say that if it would be in Shemayim, Ilu B'Shemayim Hi, Ata Tzarich La'lo Sachareh L'Rida Misham. Where it says in Arabic that in the Hanami it serves on Shemayim, but Mashma, if it wouldn't be in Shemayim, then we would have to somehow go up there and bring it down. But Baruch Hashem, it's not there, it's right here. So he says, therefore, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he came to Har Sinai, and he brought us there and took away the Zuma, etc. And Hashem said, okay, here you are, all ready to get the Torah. He said, my Torah is like, it's Doma to the daughter, and you're like the Kalin, you're like the Chassan. And now, it's up to the Chassan to find the Kala. It says, as the Gemara says, that's the derech for the person that lost something to go after the thing he lost. So you know, you lost your, you see by Adam and Chava, he lost his rib, and he has to go find it now. So it's up to the Chassan to go find the Kala. So Hashem could have said, okay, I was nice enough, brought you to Har Sinai, now come up here, right? It's Mashamayim, come get the Torah, the Kala is up here, come and get it. But no, Hashem, in his Rahmanas, he said, no, don't worry, you don't have to come out here and get it, I'm going to bring it down to you. Mela, it says, Ilu Kiravnu Lifnei Har Sinai, V'lo Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah, but rather we would have to go up and get it, that would be Dayenu, because after all, it's nice enough that he brought us Har Sinai, he's offering us the Torah, that would have been Dayenu. But no, Baruch Hashem, not only did he bring us Har Sinai, who Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah, he actually gave it to us, we didn't have to go up and get it. Another idea, Kiravnu Lifnei Har Sinai, says that in the name of Shlomo Valba, that the parish is that he brought us Har Sinai, meaning that he took the Har Sinai and he turned it over us, Kafaleim Har Kegigis. He brings that this is actually the fact that Hashem forced us, even though we said Nasha Nisma B'cholzot, he still forced us to get the Torah. That's a very important nikud. It's in the essence of the Kabbalah Satorah, not us keeping the Torah. Very important, this forcing. How so? So Rav Volbi says, brings a mashal from what happened. He says in Mir, Yeshiva, when sometimes they tried to get the Bachram out of having to go to the army, in Europe, but sometimes they couldn't. Our boy used to end up going to the army. So whenever he would come back, the Rav Yerucham would ask the Bachram, tell me what happened, what's going on over there, whatever. So one such Bachram came back, and he said, so what happened to you? He says, well, they put me in the part of the army that's the horsemen, they're riding the horses, whatever, or the cavalry, right? But in the cavalry. So he said, cavalry? He says, how do you know how to ride a horse? How'd you manage that? So he said, well, I'll tell you what happened. Yeah, we got there, they lined us up, and opposite us was these horses. They lined up the horses, and they said each one of us has to jump on the horse, gallop to the other side of the thing, and there's a big ditch thing. We have to jump over the ditch, with the horse, jump over the ditch, which is a few meters wide over there. So Rav Yerucham said, exactly, but where'd you learn how to do that? How do you know? He said, very simple. What happened? They had a soldier there with his rifle cocked, right? And any soldier that says that he's not going to do it or can't do it or won't do it, he shoots him in the head. He says, so very quickly learned how to gallop on the horse and jump over the trench. So he says, therefore, he says, same thing when it comes to the Torah. When we have to fight the Yetzer Hara, if, okay, no pressure, whatever, it's very hard to fight. But if we're Hashem forced us, you have to enforce other things. And then when you're forced to do something, then you learn very quickly. And therefore, the kafalei hargigi was actually a very important element. He brings another meiser, similar, he says, in the Holocaust. He said there was in one of the camps, the Germans, they gathered 100 Jews, and they told them that they have to take apart this railroad track. Take it apart. So, and they had said, you have 1 hour to do so. So they worked, they tried, or whatever, and then they weren't able to do it. So he says, what happened? They took out of this 100 Jews, they took 25 of them, and they shot them. And they took the other 75 that was left, and they said, same thing, take apart this railway track, you have 1 hour. And they did it. He says, how were they able to do it? They were even less. Now they were only 75. They couldn't do it when they were 100. How were they able to do it with the 75? He said, because we saw what happens if you don't do it. We saw them shoot our brother right there on the spot because they didn't do it. So under pressure, you know, that type of pressure, we were able to do it. Same thing. So Tonavar, that's the Kafalei Harkigigis. When you're forced to do something, brings out the best. Okay. Next, say in the Haggadah, Rabban Gamliel, Haya Omer al Kol Shelo Amar Shloshad Vrimelu Pesach Lo Yatzay Yedei Chavato Velu Hein Pesach Matzomar. So the Tzlach in Psachim, the Kuf says Zayin Amud Beis, he asked two questions here on the Lashon of Rabban Gamliel. He said, first of all, why does it say whoever doesn't say these three things Lo Yatzay Yedei Chavato? What's this Lo Yatzay Yedei Chavato? Could just say Lo Yatzah. Like it says by Kriyat Shema, right? Kore Kriyat Shema, but lo hishmiya lo. That's not lo yatsa. That's not lo yatsa yedei chovato. I'm saying lo chovato. Lo yatsa. Yatsa. So could have said the same thing over here, right? Didn't say these things. Lo yatsa. Why say lo yatsa yedei chovato? And the second question is a very famous question, which is a lot of Mefarshim ask on this. That the order is funny. Right, because Pesach, what's Pesach? Pesach is when we say Hashem passed over their house or whatever, and they all, you know, the night before they left. And the matzah is, we speak, they come the next morning when they left, you know, geula, and they're leaving, their bread didn't rise. And maror is before. Maror is that their lives were embittered, as we say. Right, miru et chayim. So it's out of order. It should have been Maror Pesach Matzah. Not Pesach Matzah Maror. So the Maror is out of, instead of in the end. It should have been at the beginning. Okay. So, explains the Tzlach. He says, to answer the order, why the Maror is out of place. He says, we mentioned earlier, that one of the reasons why, or how, Klal Yisrael were able to leave early, they were supposed to be 400 years in Mitzrayim, they left only after 210. So one of the reasons is because of the Koshi Hashibud. And because the Egyptians worked them so hard, they were able to, you know, finish up their debt in the 400 years quicker, only in 210 years. The Koshi Hashibud. Amimele, he says, that answers the question. Comes out, therefore, that the Merirut, this bitterness, the harsh labor that they Avod Akasha, that they had to go through, that was not part of the, really, the Galus, that was part of the Geula. That got them out early. So therefore, Pesach Matzah, Pesach started, you know, Pasach, and then next morning, you know, Matzah, that's the Geula, and therefore we mention the Mar next to the Matzah, next to the Geula, to show that the Merirus, that's part of the Geula, it's not part of the Shibur, it's really more part of the Geula, because that's what got him out early. So Mer, let's put at the end, Gabi the Geula, to show that that's the Mar is really the Sibah, the cause of the Geula. And he says, based on that, we can also understand why it says Lo Yatzay Yedei Chavato. It's the other question that the Tzlach asked. It says because somebody who doesn't understand this, who doesn't understand that this Meriros is part of the Geula, that's what got them out. So he really hasn't been Yotze his Chiyuv of 400 years. Right? Right? Really, it should be 400 years. How come we got it 210? Where do 190 years go? Because the Koshi Yeshivu, that was part of the Geula. If you understand it, good. If you don't understand it, then you have another 190 years to go. Therefore, Lo Yatzay Yedei Chovato. His Chov of 400 years is still kind. saw something here later on. He brings down the Haggadah, but it's, it ties in very nicely. He brings it from Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka, and he says that this is a different place, but it mamash ties in perfectly. And they want to explain the machloikas we see later on between the Chachamim and Hillel of how to eat the matzah and the maror. It ties in very nicely. This is how so. That there's machloikas, as we say, Zecher l'migdash kehillel, right? So there's two shitas on how do you eat the matzah and the maror, and the Korban Pesach, whatever. Do you eat the matzah and the maror separately, or do you eat together? So we passing like the Chachamim, then that's why we basically, the Iker Mitzvah, first we eat the matzah, and then we eat the maror, two separate things. And that's the shita of the Chachamim, we passing like. Hillel, though, said, no, you take the matzah and the maror, and you korech, you put it together, and you eat it together. So they say, what's the idea? What's the kudas of machloikas over here? So he says that there's a couple of reasons, like we said, why, how we were able to get out early. Right? One, as we said, is the Koshi Yeshibu, that got us out early, as we've been saying. Another parish is because of the Ribui Uchlusin, since we multiplied so greatly, so therefore the 400 years was meant for X amount of people. But a lot more people, you know, can take care of that chov quicker because you have much more people working. So since we Hashem made us multiply very quickly in a rapid rate, so many people, so we're able to get out earlier because more people working to take care of the 400 years. Okay, so he says Gevaltik Pshat. He says the machloekah between Rabbanan and Hillel is based on these two shitas. Why did we get out early or not? Right. So according to Hillel, right, and he held that the reason why we got early is because he koshi yeshiva. Memele comes out that the maror, which was, the merirus, that was, as we said before, that was the cause, that was part of the geula. That's how we got out. Memele, you eat it together with the matzah represents geula. Because they're both geula. The matzah's geula, we left, with the matzah. And the maror caused the geula. So therefore, it says, Hillel, makes sense to take the matzah and the maror and eat it together because they're both geula. Whereas according to the Chachamim, they see it as separate. They say, no, that's not, the Mariris didn't cause us to get out early. It was something else. It was the population. We had a lot of people. Not to do with the Mariris. The Mera, the Matzah and the Mara, two different things. Matzah is the Geula, and the Mara is the Mariris. That's the Sheba. Nothing to do with each other. We mainly eat it separately. So that's the, explains the Machloikos over there. Very nice. Another thing I saw here, also in a different place, but it also fits in. It's a little different twist.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But that is just because pasha, because one's the rice and one's only the rabbana. So you do the main mitzvah first of matzah. So. Brings in the a little different idea, similar though, that he discusses why we have a minhag, right, where we dip the maror into charoses. So he brings from Goel El Karif. He says, "What's the it's funny because here's the maror is this bitterness, and we're dipping in charoses, which is sweet, and like, so what is it?" So he suggests the following. He says that when did things get like bitter, right, in Mitzrayim? When Moshe Rabbeinu came and he asked that the Jewish people should go free, so Paro said, oh yeah, now I'm going to make things worse. What do you do? He said, now they got to find their own kash, their own straws. And up till now, they have to keep the same quota. And they got to find their own kash. And the Ramban says that how long did this last? For 6 months. Ramban says 6 months they have to find their own, they get their own kash, and during this time it says v'yafetz ha'am b'chol eretz Mitzrayim l'koshesh kash l'teven, and yafetz is lashon niputz u'shvira, that the Egyptians used to hit them, right? Why? Because they're searching, find straw wherever they could, and they sometimes would walk into the courtyard of a mitzvah and say, hey, what are you doing here? And they're smashing them or whatever. It was very serious zman of Mirirut, like we said, when they were trying to find this kash. So for 6 months, they did so. So Lamaisa, they ask, how did they do it? How were they able to find the kash and then be able to keep up with the quota for 6 months? Okay, for a day or two, whatever, but for 6 months. So it is an interesting midrash. Midrash says, "Zimen lemakadosh baruch hu ruach shenashva bayam, bayam evilem chavilos shel kash meretz Yisrael." A miracle happened, and Hashem, it is rachmanes for the Jewish people. He blew this wind from the sea, and it brought packages, bundles of straw from Eretz Yisrael, and brought it to Mitzrayim so they can have the kash. That's how they were able to manage for 6 months. So, as if to say, you don't want to give them the straw, Paro? No problem, Kosh Baruch Hu, he'll take care of them. So in order to remember this nes, so we take the maror, which was the bitterness, you know, that we had to go find the straw, and they're hitting us because of it, etc., etc., this bitterness, and we dip it into the charoses, which is lashon of chas, right? That Kosh Baruch has charoses, is also has word chas in there, that Kosh Baruch Hu had pity on us, and he did a miracle, and he brought us the kash. And therefore, as a to remind us of this miracle, that even though it was bitter, but Hashem made it sweet, you know, he brought us the salvation, so we dip the maror into charoses. It's interesting because he doesn't say this, but the charoses, some say, it reminds us of the mortar, right? And you're supposed to use things like cinnamon sticks, whatever, like kash, whatever, to make it look like the kash that they use, which fits in perfectly. You know, that's the reminder of the kash that we have to find, but it was sweet because Hashem brought it from Eretz Yisrael. And he says also, many are knowing for maror to use chasa. So chasa is the same letter as chas, hey, chas Hashem. That Hashem, even though it was bitter, but he had pity on us and made things as sweet as it could possibly be under the circumstance. Okay. Fine. Next, so we say Maror Zeshanu Achim Al Shuma Bechule. He brings from Rabbi Yitzhak Dov Koppelman, Zatzal. He was Nif not so long ago. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Luzern, Switzerland. He made the following He'ara. He says, we can understand, you know, when we're eating maror, so, because why? We have to be reminded of the bitterness that they went through in Mitzrayim. Why? Because it's been a while since that happened, so we have to eat it to remind ourselves of what it was like in Mitzrayim. He says, but why, when they left Mitzrayim, they had a mitzvah also, Korban Pesach, Matzah Mor, they had to eat maror. Why did they have to be reminded of the bitterness of Mitzrayim? They felt it. They lived it. So why did they have to be reminded, have to eat maror, remind them of the bitterness of Mitzrayim? So he answers, and he says, you see from here, that it's the human nature, that as bad as it could be in matzav, but as soon as it goes away, person forgets very quickly. So, you know, it's bad, you think, well, I'll never forget this. No, now it's bad, but as soon as it gets good, it says, it was bad, forget it, right? And therefore, even though they were living it, you know, the persecution and Mitzrayim, whatever, but now they're free, all of a sudden, chick-chuck, they're like, oh, that wasn't so bad, you know. So therefore, they need the maror to remind them. That's human nature. And he says, you see it in the, he says from in the war, in the Second World War, there were Jews that they promised Hashem, he said, Hashem, just take me out of here, all I ask for you is some bread and water, you know, that's it, nothing more, let me get through this war, and then all I ask from you after I get out of here is just bread and water, because now I, because you have that, you know, so this, that's all I ask. And you see that the war was over, whatever, very quickly, that they weren't just happy with bread and water, and you know, at the time, it reminded me that I've seen this. I've seen this with, and I always wondered about it. I mean, according to this, he explains it, but says that you see people, that I know people that went through the war and they had nothing, they had not to eat or whatever, and it always astonished me that it's been years, you know, okay, and they're like picky when it comes to foods and this and that. No, this is, food is too cold, I like it hotter, the soup's too cold, or not enough salt, or that. And I, when I see this, I always wonder myself, how could they cares? The soup was a little, you know, they didn't, they were starving in the war. And how can he be picky now about, okay, Rosh Hashem, I didn't go through it. So, okay, no, no, but somebody who's starving and now Rosh Hashem has what to eat, how can you possibly be finicky and picky about the soup is a little cold, not enough salt? Or, you know, I never understood it. I mean, what he's saying is that's human nature, right? When you're going through it,
It's
also a positive thing, right? Or else you go crazy if you never get out of the bed, right? So it's the good side of it. But he said unfortunately, it affects their hakar satov, you know, because you're like, oh, thank you, Hashem, you know, you got me out of this. But if you become, it wasn't so bad, right? So then you don't have so much hakar satov anymore. So it affects the element of hakar satov. That's a negative side of it. But that's why they had to be reminded. They left Mitzrayim, still have to be reminded. Okay. Right. Let's go on. B'chol ador v'ador, chayav adam liros asmo keilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. So he brings an interesting hara. He says that every year since, you know, we left Mitzrayim, you know, we celebrate, we're happy. Oh, you know. So he says, okay, I can understand, you know, they left Mitzrayim here. Yeah, they were in, you know, Galus, and they had Geula. You know, they came out, Geula, whatever. He says, but how could we be happy? We're back in Galus again. Right? And us, okay, not so bad, but we're talking about, you know, again, they were in the Holocaust or whatever, and they tried to make their own, like, somewhat of a Seder or whatever, you know, and how could they be happy, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, but Baruch Hashem, I mean, look at the Matzav, you know, when they came out of Egypt, fine, they had the Geula, but now we're back in Galus again, and what do we have to be happy about? So he answers from a nice mashal from Rav Natanzan, Shol Natanzan from Sholem Meshiv, the author Sholem Meshiv, says the following. He says, there was once a yid that was very, very, very poor. And because he had what to eat or whatever. And what bothered him more than the physical, you know, discomfort was the fact that he wanted so much to be able to learn Torah, and he has children, he wanted to teach his children Torah, but he couldn't afford it. He had to work, you know, to every day, all day, and just to make ends meet, and he had no time to learn, and he couldn't find a tutor for his children because he couldn't afford it, whatever. So that bothered him more than the fact that he was starving, the fact that he couldn't learn Torah and teach his children Torah. Okay, one day what happened, he found a hidden treasure somewhere. Lost treasure, he found it, and all of a sudden his whole matzav changed, and he became a wealthy man, and of course now he was happy, because he didn't learn, and he's taught his children Torah, everything, and every year he would make a party on that day, you know, Sudas Hoda, you know, that day when he found the treasure, right? Okay, so that continued for a number of years, but as things happen, Galgol Shechozer Bola, and unfortunately he lost all his wealth, right? He lost everything, and he became a pauper again. So his family was wondering, you know, what's going to be, and worried about his mental state, what's going to be when he comes on to that day that he's supposed to celebrate, you know, that what is he going to do, how's he going to feel, you know, whatever. So that day came, you know, the day where the normal, we always made a Suda Soda. And he made a Suda Soda. He was happy, and he served only like bread, whatever, some stale bread at the Suda Soda, that's all he had. But he still made, and he's still happy. So they asked him, how could you be happy? Bishlama, you know, when you had all the money and you're happy, you know, Suda Soda, fine. But now you lost it all. You're back to where you began, back to square one. So how can you be happy now? So he says, no, I'm not back to square one. He says, why? Because when I was poor, what was I missing? I was missing the Torah. I couldn't learn, couldn't teach my kids. Baruch Hashem, after I found the treasure, I learned Torah, I taught my kids Torah, whatever. And now, Baruch Hashem, we have a house of Torah because of that. Now I don't have the money. The money I lost, but the Torah we still have. So therefore, I'm still celebrating the Baruch Hashem, celebrating the day I found that money. Because if it wasn't for the money, I wouldn't have the Torah. And that's what counts. The money is here, money there. But now, Baruch Hashem, I have the Torah. So he says, so too, that's a nimshal. We said, how could we celebrate, you know, we're back in Galus again, back where we started from. Okay, physically, we might be back to where we started from. We were persecuted, now we're persecuted, whatever. Yeah, fine, that's physically. But why, well, what was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So that we could go to the Har, right? Tavdunas Elokim ala Har Hazeh, that we should come to Har Sinai and get the Torah, which we did. So that was accomplished, and that's never lost from us. We're physically fine, but the Torah that we gained from leaving Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's still with us till today, and that's what keeps us going. So Mela, we can still be happy and celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, which led to the giving of the Torah, because that we still have, even though physically things might not be going so. Say the Hallel, beginning of the Hallel, at least for the Suda. So the one pasuk we say, "Mi Kashem Elokeinu Hamagbi Lashav Es Hamishpili Leros B'Shamayim Baret." So he says that the avoda of a person is that we have to try to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Mahu rachum, tate rachum. And so we see from this pasuk that when a person, some might think that some other people besides myself, right, they're little things that bother them, whatever, that's nothing to do with that. That's a steer to my greatness, right? I'm greater than them, and so why should I concern myself with their shmonses, so to speak? He says, but we see from here, in this pasuk, that's not the case. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu say, we say, Mi Kashem Elokeinu Hamagbi Lashavas. He's lofty, sitting up there, right? Hamagbi Lashavas, he's up there. And yet what? Hamashpili Liros, Meshamayim Varat. Yet he's Mashpili, he lowers himself, Kiviyachol, to see what's going on down here. Who are we? Klapei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yet he still cares about our Narshkaitin, so to speak. Right? Because, even though, and therefore, that we have to try to emulate, right? That even though we might be greater than other people, whatever, but just like Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about the little things about other people, we have to do so as well. He brings cites a couple of examples of this. He says there is a Menachem Rach Lita. He relates that he once came to the Chazon Ish and to see the Chazon Ish. When he came in, he saw that the Chazon Ish was standing by the window. Same window in his apartment, and he was like looking outside, and there were kids directly under, you know, where he was standing underneath the building. There were kids playing in the sandbox, whatever. And he sees the Chazon Ish go over to the sink, fills up a cup of water, and he goes back to the window, and he pours it onto the sand where the kids are playing. So this Menachem Rat says to the Chazon Ish, What's that all about? Right? So he said, well, I noticed that these kids were playing in the sand, and I figured that it's much more geschmack if you play in wet sand. You know, like wet sand, you can make things, whatever. It's much more geschmack if the sand is wet. Therefore, I poured water on the sand so they can enjoy how they're playing even more. So he thought, he says, he was blown away. He says, Chazon Ish, he was standing by the window, not stumped to daydream. I'm sure he was involved in a sugya, whatever, deep sugya, and he was like, you know, going to the window to get some, you know, air, whatever. And what? And even though he was involved in all these lofty things, but when it comes to other people, and these are little children that they can help them, you know, make their life even a little bit better, more enjoyable, whatever, he took note of it, and he did something about it. Right, despite his loftiness of who he is, he remembers this idea. Even though he's magbila shavi, he's mashbili liros. He lowers himself and he takes note. He, in fact, took note of it. It is something special, and that he did something about it. All the more so in his little kids. But that's being emulating Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says, Reuven Karelenstein says he heard from Noach Pale that also similar. That there was a yid that in his bach, when he was a bacher, he learned in Ponovich. He's very close to the Mashgiach of Yecheskel Levinstein. And one Shabbos, after davening, so the bachum goer of say good Shabbos, you know, to the Rebbeim, whatever. And this bacher said good Shabbos to Rav Yecheskel. And he says to him, I want to speak to you after Shabbos, whatever. So the Bacher is okay, and he walks away and goes, oh no, what did I do? You know, what did I do wrong? And the whole Shabbos is like, oh my gosh, like, what do you want to speak to me about? It is, it's all nervous, whatever. So, fine, he comes into the Mishkiach after Shabbos, and he says, the Mishkiach wants to speak to me? He says, yeah. He says, what? He says, I noticed when I was said good Shabbos to you, he says to the Bacher, that you got a new hat. And he says, and I saw it sits on you very nicely. So when you go out on Shaduchim, you know, you should wear that hat. Just want to let you know, tell you that. So also he was astonished. He said, you know, he says, you don't know, Rabbi Cheskel left. Okay, he was kokulo Yerushalmayim. He says he never yawned. Okay, he said he was like kulo shtek, you know, Yerushalmayim. And then here, look here, this is my hat. He knows I got a new hat, and then, oh, I should wear it for Shaduchim, and that. Like, wow, what? It's like not matin. So he says again, that's the idea, that you have to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to care about others. It's not where you're holding, but you have to look at others and hear about them and see what you can do for them, whatever, even though they're not holding where you are. It's the godless. Okay. The Betzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Loes. So it's like a corporate decision, right? When Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and who was that? What was that? It was Beis Yaakov that left the Am Loes. So question is, what's Am Loes have to do with? Am is a nation. Loes is Lashon like Laz. So we say Laz, you know, Lashon Amzar. You know, it's a strange language. So now it's any language that's not Hebrew or Alshon HaKodesh is called Laz, which is Lashon Amzar. You know, in Rashi you call it Laz or Rashi, right? There's a different language, not Hebrew. So what's this got to do with any? What? Remember, who is the Egypt? The Jews left. The Beis Yaakov left what? The Amzar, the nation that had a different language. What? And in Islamic, we're trying to be Meganel, like it's a Ganai. So what's a Ganai? That he spoke Egyptian? Like what? It just doesn't like what? Why mention that over here? It doesn't fit. So he brings a beautiful pshat from Baruch Shamar, right? It's Rav Epstein. Baruch Epstein is the author of Torah Tmima. He has a book on Tfilah. It's called Baruch Shamar. And he also questions, it's like, what's the funny Lashon? Like, Am Loes. So he explains it the following way. He said, the Egyptians, when they wanted to, you know, persecute us, whatever, so enslave us, they knew that it's not going to work so well in the, you know, in the eyes of the nation. The other nation is going to say, how could you take these innocent people, didn't do anything, these fine people, and enslave them, right? So what did he have to do? He had to create like a type of propaganda scheme, you know, against the Jews to somehow tell the world that these people are bad. They're bad people. Once they're bad people, okay, you can do what you want with them. They deserve to be persecuted, they deserve to be enslaved. They're bad people. And so he had to create first this aura of, oh, the Jews are bad. And then, after that, it was not a problem to enslave them. He says, it's Meduyak, and they say, him and others say it as well, Meduyak in the Pasuk. Right, what does it say? Vayareu osanu hamitzrim v'yanunu. So what it's in Ivrit, it's not a correct Ivrit. Why? Because the Pashup Shad is what? Vayareu lashon ra, otanu hamitzrim. The Egyptians did bad to us. They made did ra to us. Vayareu otanu hamitzrim. But that's not how you say it in Hebrew. You don't say otanu. It should be vayareinu lanu. They did bad to us. Lanu. Right? Vayareu lanu. Like we say in Lama Hariosa Laam Laam Hazeh. Why you did bad Hariosa Laam? You do bad to the nation. So it should have said Vayareu Lanu Hamitzrim. They did bad to us. So why say Vayareu Otanu? Yareu Otanu means they made us bad. Vayareu Otanu. They made us bad. No, they did bad to us. Ah, according to what we're saying, it's beautiful. No, that's exactly what they did. They made us bad, mean they made us look bad in the eyes of everybody. Vayareu otanu, they made us bad. They said, oh, these are bad people. And after that, they were able to enslave us. So he says that's exactly what, where do we see it? Exactly happened with in Europe with Hitler, Yimach Shemo. He did, that was exactly his scheme. What did he do? He wanted to do away with the Jewish people, but just all of a sudden, okay, everybody killed Jews. I mean, where did, why? Who? What? You know, he couldn't. So what did he do? He started with his whole propaganda against the Jewish people that made us say that we were bad people, right? And therefore, after that, you know, it was just a matter of you know, killing a Jew was to get rid of Biar Tarah. You know, getting rid of the evil that's in the world. You know, like, the Jewish people are evil. So he created this whole propaganda. Jews are bad, they're evil, they're this, they're that. And then once that was accepted, says, okay, now I can kill them. Nobody's going to stop me, which they didn't. Why? Because I'm killing the bad, getting rid of the bad. Right? Much the same scheme. As Farah used, that's exactly what Hitler is. So Meili says, very nice. Therefore, Me'am Loez, you can say Loez doesn't mean Lashon Amzar, it means a different language. There's another context that we use a lot, Laz. What is Laz? Motzi Laz. What is Motzi Laz? When you a libel, you tell some false information, you lie about a person, right? You're Motzi Laz against it, right? Like Lashon Hara, right? Motzi Laz. So Meila, that's what they did. They were the Amzar is that they were Motzi Laz on us. They made up this whole story that we're bad people in order to persecute us. So that's a Gnai. We're calling these Mitzrim the Amloez is that were Motzi Laz on us and made us bad when we really weren't. And he says that if you want to add another knaish to it, it fits in nicer, because it says what? B'tzeisur Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov, right, left the Amloes. So Beis Yaakov, we know that's usually the connotation used for the girls, right? Beis Yaakov, right? It's at Matan Torah, there's Beis Yaakov, the Eluha Nashim, right? Because they also, the Midrash says that in Mitzrayim, they try to Dafka make the women bad. Make them, they're not sneezes or whatever. They try to zero in on the women. Dafka, also the Mitzrayim. So when you want to give us a bad name. So therefore, that when we say to Mitzrayim, that the Beis Yaakov, right, that the one, that the Jewish women who really were sneezes, and they were, Hashem took them out from the Loez, the one that were mostly laws on them, and say that they weren't, not to make them bad. So it's very fits in mama. She says, "Kafter Raferach Beis Yaakov Dafka Miyam Lois." Okay.